lesson today is found in the 13th chapter and 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. We left off in the 11th chapter last week. We didn't get to the story of how that Moses had married an Ethiopian woman, which we wish to begin with this afternoon. And we read that Moses had married an Ethiopian woman, and Miriam and Aaron, they spake against him because he had done this. Moses had been married a considerable long time already. He had married a woman by the name of Zipporah, and we do not read that he had any other wife in Scripture outside of this Scripture that you read here. It's almost incredible to think that Moses would have taken a woman of another nation and married her when he had been given to speak the law unto Israel concerning even marriages, that they were not to give their daughters unto the sons of the nation to which they were going, and neither were their sons to take the daughters of that nation, the Canaanites. And now Moses here has taken an Ethiopian woman. Looking up the word Ethiopia, we find that Ethiopia was a country bordering Africa, but also there was an Ethiopia very near to the country where the Israelites had been dwelling, namely in that part of Goshen in Egypt. And now, some think that really he did take a woman of Cush, descendants of Cush, and the commentary does not think that he had taken another wife. They believe that this Miriam and Aaron had become jealous of Moses because God had laid so much honor upon him, and he had been given by God to choose 70 men who would help him in the work that he was called to. And when he was given to choose these 70 men, Aaron and Miriam had nothing to do with the choice thereof. But they think that this Zipporah had a great influence upon Moses in the choice that he made of these 70 men. Now, God came down and put much of the spirit of Moses upon these 70 rulers. And it was God that had chosen these men for this work to help Moses. So with these two, Miriam and Aaron, speaking in this way against Moses, they spoke this in scorn, calling his wife Zipporah an Ethiopian woman. It's difficult to ascertain whether he really was married again. It doesn't seem possible, and it doesn't seem to be grounded on the Scripture outside of just this text. If we abode by this text, well, we would say he married an Ethiopian woman, and that would finish it. But this dispute between his two relatives, his sister and his brother, brings the question to mind whether it was so or not. They were jealous of him and what authority he had and how that he was given to rule the people by the government that he had received from God. And now they spoke against him, and they said, "Hath God only spoken by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us?" And this, my dear hearers, this was something for Moses. In the previous chapter, we were teaching you how that the people rose up against Moses and demanded flesh. "We want flesh." The whole congregation was rebelling against him. He had so much of a burden with these people for this reason, that they weren't satisfied with what God was giving unto them. And now here, He has his own relatives standing up against him and speaking against him. This was something that Moses, of course, had reasons to be angry with, but it says that Moses was a meek man, was one of the meekest men upon the face of the earth. This Moses then, he did not get angry. He did not go to God with this complaint and ask that he would justify him before his sister and his brother. No, Moses, he remained very meek, very humble. This chapter that we are teaching out of proves that he was really so humble and so meek that there wasn't anyone like him. We know that when it was for the honor of God concerning the golden calf, then he went forward and he grind that calf to pieces. But when it was about his own honor, he don't say nothing. He's very meek. He's very humble. And now these two, by talking against Moses, they more or less would have stirred up the people who were rebellious enough. And if they had went with these two, they would have had a great company and there would have been a great rebellion. It was wrong of them to speak in this way about Moses. Moses, he was honored by God and called by God to lead these people. And so are they. Aaron had been sent from Egypt to meet Moses. And likewise, Miriam, she likewise had been chosen to be a leader with these two men. She, Miriam, must have had a falling out with Zipporah, and she was angry with her, and one thing led to another thing, and finally it came to the ears of Aaron. And Aaron, he was disgusted too, because he had no voice in the choice of these men that had been chosen to be the leaders. And therefore, when his sister began to talk to him, Satan coming in, he likewise consented with her and spoke against Moses. When the devil came in paradise, he first came to Eve. And then Eve, she came to Adam. So it was here. They both fell into transgression. Quarrels amongst relatives are very bad. So many times this happens in life, and this here teaches us to be silent and not to go into any quarrels with our relations. And now it also teaches us to speak against the servants of God is a great sin. Moses, he did not appeal for his honor or that God would punish Miriam and Aaron for this. But when they spake in this way, God heard it. God resented it. When you touch one of his servants, one of his people, you touch the apple of his eye. We must be very careful when we speak about the servants and about the people of God. For he is a God that will resent things said against his people. He will take up their cause. If anyone speaks against one of those little ones, be sure that God will take it up for that little one. What a mercy to have God on your side, my heroes. God was on the side of Moses. He was not on the side of Miriam and Aaron at this present time. Although they were even saints of God, they were gifted with the grace of God, and here they're speaking against their own brother. They would set themselves up as rivals against Moses. And now we read that God heard what they said. This teaches us also that God hears I and you, every word that we say, and every thought that we think. God knows it. God hears it. God sees it. Oh, had we but an impression thereof, how many times we would keep our tongue. Oh, all our rash speeches and our evil speaking, God hears it. And there is a day coming, as the scripture teaches us, that we will have to answer for every idle word that we have spoken. And so God was in this cloud up above the tabernacle. Of old, judges used to sit in the gate. People that had anything that was against each other, they came to the judge who sat at the gate, and he would try to straighten out the matter. But now the great judge, the judge before whom every one of us have to appear, he was up in the cloud. And he descended with this cloud, and he commanded these three, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, to come forward to the door of the tabernacle. And they came forward, and God came down in the cloud at the door of the tabernacle. And he called Miriam and Aaron to come forward. And they came, and God spake unto them, and said to them, hear my words. If I have chosen the prophet, I will be with him, and I will make myself known unto him by a vision or by a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. God's taking it up with Moses, speaking to them, that when he sent a prophet, and you may find that to be true, God called many prophets under the Old Testament dispensation, and when he called them, why, he usually made known unto them what was going to happen in the future or what had happened in the past. And he spake to them sometimes in a vision, sometimes in a dream. And these prophets, they had been chosen by God. They were known by God. They had intimate conversation with God. And what a blessing these prophets were under the old dispensation. It's a blessing of blessings to be known of God, to be chosen by God, and to be used by God. And these prophets, they many times heard things which they have written in this book, which are pretty hard to understand. God speaks sometimes in dark speeches, and especially if you read the prophetical book of Ezekiel, it's a very difficult book to understand many of the visions that this prophet received. They cannot even be interpreted. What the meaning of them is must probably yet come to pass. God likewise spake unto Daniel in visions and also in dreams. But unto Moses, he was above all the prophets that ever have lived upon this earth. Only one prophet excelled him, and that was Jesus Christ. And Moses is called faithful in all mine house. There was no man that was gifted to know the mind of God as Moses was. And the people of Israel, they entrusted themselves unto Moses, and Moses made known the mind of God to them. In this, he was very faithful, very upright, very sincere. This is what God commends him for. But Moses likewise was not as these prophets were that I was just speaking about. Moses was given to speak mouth to mouth with God. That's something, my hearers. As a friend speaketh with a friend, so God spake unto Moses. And God spake very plainly, very clearly to Moses, because he gave him the law, he gave him all the ordinances that Israel were to use in their worship. Oh, to be so close to God. to have him speak mouth to mouth to you. For this man, Moses, he was then extraordinary in this respect. Many times he had been up on the mount and had been with God for 40 days. Two times we read this. And he had been given all these things which were necessary to instruct the children of Israel. And they were very plain, very clear, simple language, not in dark speeches as he let the other prophets speak, but they were instructed in the way that God was to be worshipped and what they were to do, how they were to walk with God and be obedient to him. And Moses then, he was given in this respect by God himself a tribute of praise, which is in this book and which is to his eternal honor, that Moses was such an exceptional man, that God was so with him and so blessed him. And now that these two people spake against him, God resented it. And after he had spoken to Miriam and Aaron, we read that the cloud departed from them. Oh, my hearers, when God departs from a person or from a church, woe be unto that person and to that church. Oh, if God leaves us, my hearers, we will come to utter ruin. But if God be for us as he was for Moses, no fear, he certainly will take up the case. And now he departed. And when he had departed, this was a sign to Israel of old that he wouldn't listen to their excuses. He wouldn't hear what they had to say to defend themselves. He went up from them. And we find that God immediately smote Miriam with that dreadful plague, leprosy. This was the judgment of God that came down upon Moses' sister for being so insolent, for speaking so against her brother, for speaking against the apple of God's eye. For this is what Moses was. This, likewise, was something for Aaron. He was guilty as she was. And when he seen that God smote Miriam with this plague, for her whole face became white, it was covered with leprosy. Well, one of the commentaries says, her foul mouth was likewise smitten because her face became foul. This was where God smote her. And she, likewise, had nothing to say. We don't hear of anything that she said after this, but we do hear Aaron. He was the high priest, Aaron. It was his duty to take care of cases of leprosy. And when he saw this leprosy come upon his sister, he trembled. He was afraid because God could have smitten him with leprosy too. He deserved it too. He had spoken too against Moses. But his office as high priest was an office which God respected. For had he been smitten with leprosy, it would have been a blot upon him and upon his family. But God did not smite him. But he immediately starts to execute the office of a high priest. For he immediately begins to speak unto Moses and prays to Moses that he would forgive their sins, his sin and his sister's sin, for they had done very foolishly. Oh, what a blessing this was for Aaron, that he was given to confess this sin that they were guilty of, and to ask Moses to forgive them. And he entreated Moses, entreated his compassion, that he would not let Miriam remain in this state. state and condition in which we was, in which she was, for he speaks as if she would was dead, in having leprosy, as she would be separated from the camp, and she would be isolated, and she would not be able to have any conversation with anyone. This leprosy was a dreadful disease. It was incurable at that time. And now she was afflicted with this, and he appealed unto Moses. Moses, he could have resented it. He could have said, this is God's judgment upon her. But there was nothing like that in this man, Moses. He had no hard feelings against Aaron or against his sister. He did not go to God because of this. But when he was appealed to entreat to God that he would remove this disease, he immediately shows a forgiving spirit. Immediately he prays to God, heal her, O God. Oh, this God in heaven above, he had been prayed to so many times by Moses and had answered him, heard him again in this respect, praying for his sister that she would be healed. Oh, my hearers, how would we feel if they had done that to you and I? Would we pray? The Lord teaches us here in the example of Moses and also in the example of himself that we should pray for them that despitefully use us. Oh, this is a thing we have to be given to do. We have to learn this lesson from Moses and from Christ, who likewise was despitefully used and still prayed for them that crucified him. Oh, this woman, Miriam, being struck like this, it was something for the children of Israel, for they seen in this the hand of God coming down upon her. It was a public sin that she was guilty of. It was just as with Gehazi, God struck him with leprosy immediately. And you read of a king, Uzzah, he likewise went into the temple and he was going to offer up incense. And immediately the hand of God went out against him because he went into some place where he wasn't supposed to be. He was not a priest. He was not to sacrifice. So this woman, she was smitten immediately. And all Israel knew this, that it was God that had smitten her. They seen it on her face. There was no doubt about it. And this was God that done this to warn the Israelites that they likewise would not rebel, would not speak as they had been doing against Moses. How often hadn't they spoken against this man? And he, in meekness and in humbleness and humility, he had borne it all. And he had went to God for them and prayed that God wouldn't punish them for what they had been doing. So he went to God here, and God heard his prayer. But God came down and spake unto Moses and said unto him, if her father had spit in her face, should she not then be ashamed? 7 days, let her be put out of the camp, 7 days, and then let her be brought back in again. This was what God said. By that he meant that if her earthly father had resented something that she had done and had spit in her face because of it, wouldn't she have been ashamed? Wouldn't she have went into her room? Wouldn't she have thought, oh, what have I done? Wouldn't she have been sorry for what she'd done? And now she had done this not to her earthly father, but to her Father in heaven. And therefore, he, in justice, said that she should be put out of the camp for 7 days. She then was removed from the camp, and all Israel remained in this particular place. They did not journey because Miriam had been put out of the camp. And after 7 days, she was brought in and she was cured of her leprosy. Oh, what a good God she had to do with, my hearers. Oh, it is true, when she came through the Red Sea with Moses, then she was one of the leaders that went forward, praising God and singing unto him. But now, where she had sinned against God, he had put her outside of the camp. He had humbled her and brought her down. So this is what God does to his people who sin against him so continuously. But he does not turn them away and never have anything more to do with them. He will again visit them. He again will give them repentance, will again give them to enjoy something of his favor and of his love. And so with Miriam, she again was brought back into the camp. And then we read that the children of Israel pitched forward and went to a place called Hazeroth in the wilderness of Paran. They are now very close to the promised land, that land that God had promised to bring them into. This God is such a faithful God, and was so to these people who were so rebellious and who sinned so many times against him. Well, we read in the next chapter that God commanded Moses to send 12 men to spy out the country which he had promised to give unto the children of Israel. And he was to choose one of each tribe. When we read this, then we would attribute this to God himself, and that he proposed this. But when we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, we read there that the children of Israel came to Moses and said that they wanted to send 12 men to be spies to search out the country which God had promised to give them. In this, the commentary says that they were sinning by unbelief. Now here it says that God done this, but in that particular verse, it says that the children of Israel were the ones first that wanted to send 12 men. And now, Moses, he's relating this in this chapter, and he said he was very well satisfied with what they suggested, and therefore he approved to send 12 men. But here it says that God spake to Moses and told him to send 12 men. And he was to choose one out of each tribe. Moses, according to the commandment of God, did this. He chose 12 men. Of these 12 men, there were only two that had grace in their hearts. There were only two that were chosen from all eternity unto eternal salvation. For as we go on with the history of these 12 men, 10 of these men, they came back with an evil report. And God became angry with them, and 10 of these men perished before the Lord. He took them away. We see in this likewise that many are chosen, many are called, but few are chosen by God to salvation. Many are leaders, many are preachers, many are rulers, as these men were, and still they perish before the face of God. But these 12 men then were sent out to spy out the land, and Moses gave them instructions what they should do. They should first see what kind of a land it was, and they should see whether it was a good land or a bad land. They were to see where the people that dwelt in the land lived, whether they lived in cities, whether they lived in villages, whether they lived in tents, or they lived in houses, they were to search this out. They likewise were to come back with some of the fruit of the land. This is what Moses commanded them. And now these 12 men were sent out, and as they went out, we find that they traveled. Whether they traveled with the 12 of them together is a question. In all probabilities, they went in groups. Because had they went in a group of 12, of these nations through which they were going would possibly suspect something. Them nations knew everything about Israel. They knew that God was in the midst of these people. They knew what was going on in the desert even. You find that when the Israelites came to Jericho, this Rahab, she had heard about the wonders that God had done in the land, in the wilderness. They were not ignorant of these people, and they were not ignorant either of the promise that God had given unto them, that that land where they were dwelling in, the Israelites were to get it. And now, when they went through this land, they must have separated from each other to search the country. And so they came, it says, to Hebron. Near this Hebron were the sepulchers of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and likewise of their wives. They were buried right near this place in Machpelah. That is where they had a burying place. And in all probabilities, these men, they went to the sepulcher, this commentary says. We don't read that in the scriptures. These men had lived hundreds of years before them, and they were buried here. And this was the land that God had promised these men. And this was the land where Israel was to come. Now these people going up as they did, being sent by Moses, according to the commentary, and according to Deuteronomy 1, verse 21, they went up in unbelief because God had promised them this land. God had led them to the border of this land. And now to choose some to spy it out, God had spied it out. He had told them it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Had they now immediately arose and went into the land, trusting in God, believing that God would give them this land, it had been to the honor of their faith, but it still wasn't this way. They had to search the country out first. And in this way, God likewise was given to see and to prove what sort of people these were, these Israelites, and how that he likewise punished them. And it is written in his precious word for instruction and for our learning, that we may not be as they were. And we find that as they went through the land, they saw the Anakims, men of great stature, it says in the Bible, men that were tall, that were strong, built like giants. And then they came to the brook Eshcol, and there they cut down a bunch of grapes. And these grapes, it was such a large bunch that they had to put it on a staff and carry it with the two of them. It was impossible for them to carry it alone. These grapes, they weighed about 12 pounds, it says in the commentary. Some other people that have been in these countries, in Palestine, in certain places, they have seen grapes, bunches of grapes, 45 pounds. And now these grapes, they were about two knuckles thick and two knuckles long. So this is how large they were. And they believe that it was Caleb and Joshua that cut this bunch of grapes down and put them on their two staffs and carried them back. The others, they had no interest in it. they even didn't want to labor to cut them down or help them. They more or less were opposed to this, what God had said. It was a beautiful land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. They were looking forward to come back already with an evil report. They then came up from this land and reported back to Moses and to the congregation of Israel who were in this desert. And when they came back, they with their own mouths had to say, the land that we went into is a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God said it was. And even these enemies, these spies, they had to agree that it was such a country. For when God says it is so. But they began to speak about who they had seen in the land. What monsters of men they had met. They were giants. And they brought up a report that went into the hearts of the children of Israel. It was not a good report. It was an evil report. It was a land that ate up the inhabitants thereof. They changed their mouth and they changed their words and did not approve of God speaking as it was. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And now when they brought this evil report of the children of Israel, they began to weep and they began to cry. Oh, they became angry at God. Angry because these men spake concerning this country the way it was. But there were two of them, Caleb and Joshua. They spake unto the congregation and said to keep quiet. They told these other men to keep still. And they spake to the congregation and said, it is a good land, a land as God has said it was. Let us go up and take it. We are well able to do so. They have lost all their hope and all expectation. And God is with us, and we will take the land. No, they didn't want to believe these two men. They came up with a true report. They were honest. They were men that had the grace of God in their hearts. They had faith to believe the promise, and they believed that God would give them that land. But they had 10 that opposed them. And they had all the Israelites likewise opposing them. Oh, what a mercy it was that God had two witnesses amongst them. And God still has witnesses, my hearers. When they seen the grapes and seen the fruit, they came up with pomegranates and other things. They had to say it was a land that had much fruit in it. These grapes and these fruits that they brought back are signs and symbols of the comforts and of the communion and fellowship which God gives to his dear children in this life. They are a foretaste of that eternal kingdom above. This is what these grapes and these fruits meant. Oh, my hearers, have you ever had anything from heaven in your soul? Have you ever had any comfort, any encouragement, any sign, any token of God that he is with you, that he loves you? They are foretaste of that eternal place where you will enjoy him without sin, where you will glory in the cross of Christ forever and ever for saving you and giving you the taste, even in this state here below, something of heaven in your hearts. Oh, that God would grant every one of my hearers something of this in their souls. Oh, it creates in such a soul such a longing to be with God, a longing to be delivered out of a body of sin and death, a longing to have the wings of an angel and to fly away and to be at rest. Oh, that God would grant you something like this in your very hearts. How loose you would be of things here below and how desirous you would be to be with that multitude that are singing the song of the Lamb forever and ever. The Lord bless the feeble instruction this afternoon to your hearts. May we pick up the subject next week, Sunday, the Lord willing. That's all for today.